to everybody that's here for Bible study. And every now and then we want to say thank you to all of our watchers on the web. God bless you. Amen. We're getting calls all the time. Somebody said the other day, they literally called and said, "Man, you guys having good church. We've been watching you guys on the way to church." So they were getting a double dose. Amen. They were watching us have church, and they were on the way to church themselves. And so we appreciate technology, and the word is getting out. God's doing great things. Can you say amen? All right. While you're standing, in honor of the word of God, we're going to start from the very beginning. That's the greatest place to start from. Genesis 1 and 1. All right. And so get relaxed and comfortable, because we're going to preach the whole Bible tonight. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right. The Bible says in this huge scripture, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." That's my scripture, and that's my point. I want to talk to you tonight about a heart for heaven. A heart for heaven. Amen. Now, I've done a few exciting things in my life. I remember a preacher years ago found out that, I think it might have been King's Dominion. It's been so long ago, I forgot. He said, "Brother Marshburn, have you heard they got that new roller coaster in King's Dominion?" I said, "What about it?" He said, "You stand up." And he said, "I suggest that you and I and our wives go there immediately." And I said, "And ride that?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you serious?" He talked me into it. And when we got there, he insisted on being the front one. And so we're standing there on a roller coaster, and it's new. You don't ever know what's going to happen with new. Anyway, I got over my heart attack, but we did that. I've done a few things that brings excitement. I don't know, and I know the Lord won't do it, because if he did, everybody would want to go to heaven just to go to heaven. But if he could just give us a glimpse, I'm telling you. What does that song say? Every hard mile, every tough mile, everything we go through, there would be nothing to it, because we just saw where we're headed. Amen. The Lord won't show us that, because it wouldn't be a relationship with him. It would be just a desire to go to heaven. But listen, think about this. He made heaven and earth in 6 days. Took a break on the seventh. And then Jesus said, "I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions." He went on to describe a little bit about heaven. And it has taken him over 2,000 years to prepare it for us. 6 days for the universe. Over 2,000 years for where we're going. Now, I'm not trying to get any volunteers to go tonight. Just hold your peace there and just calm down. But the rapture's getting ready to take place. We're getting ready to go somewhere for eternity. I want to go to heaven. How about you? It don't get any more simple than what I'm going to talk about tonight, but I just want to go to heaven. Amen. And so if we're going to make it to heaven, we got to have a heart for it. Anything you got a heart for is what you're going to do. And so I've got a heart for heaven. Amen. So let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us tonight. Jesus, we want to thank you again for the privilege and the honor of being in the house of God, to worship you both in spirit and in truth. And we pray tonight that you would bless every individual that's in the house of God. Lord, every trouble, trial, or tribulation, I pray, God, that you would give them conquering power and spirit. Let them overcome. Let us walk this place, out of this place, in victory and refreshing and renewal in the Holy Ghost. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you as you're seated just now. Again, thank you for being in the house of God. The heaven was the first thing God created. The heaven is mentioned in the first book of the Bible several times, defining the heavens from all other distinct creations. In the beginning, God created the heaven and then the earth. Amen. And there's going to be a number of scriptures. I should have given it to you guys. I apologize for that. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. We're not going to be lengthy, but we're going to have a Bible study here tonight. Amen. Matthew 5, 19 and verse 20. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. You see that? But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So whosoever, for I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the righteousness of the scribes? What is the righteousness of the Pharisees? And I'm going to tell you in a nutshell, it's hypocrites. It's hypocritical to claim something and not be something, say something and not mean something. They were everything but righteous. They were religious, but they were not righteous. That's why they ultimately became the individuals that crucified Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about the fact that it wasn't sinners, so to speak? It wasn't outlaws and bank robbers and murderers and thieves that crucified our Christ? It was the religion of the day. And so he said, I want your righteousness to exceed theirs. No one's perfect. I understand that. But that doesn't give us a reason to strive for imperfection. That gives us all the challenge that we should feel to strive to be a better man, a better woman, or a better young person in the kingdom of God. Right? Amen. And so, and whatever we do, can I talk to you a little while? This is Bible study, and this is people that want the Bible, and you want truth. Amen. So don't do the blame game. Amen. If you go out and you're doing wrong things and you're in wrong places and all of this, then it's going to affect you and others around you. Amen. And so don't be accusing others for making it tough on you. Sin has a way of doing that itself. Amen. Now turn to your neighbor and say, because we love you. Amen. And we care about you. And we want to see you make it. Nothing would please me more than to get there, Brother Farrell, and to see you standing over there and to walk up and say, I never imagined it was going to be like this, did you? And you're going to look at me stuttering and say, because I got a feeling all of us are going to be a little loose in the knees when we arrive in heaven. The Bible even says that there'll be 30 minutes of silence. I know what that's all about. And then we'll come to our senses and realize where we are and thank God for it. Can you say amen? So, heaven. A heart for heaven. And so we need to exceed. We need to go further and do the distance and break the ribbon and win the race. But I've got a word of confidence for you. It is not the fastest runner. It's not the most intelligent, tallest, shortest, biggest, smallest. It's not any of that. Everyone here gets the opportunity and the chance to break the ribbon. In fact, the Bible gives us a little bit of a riddle so that we don't even know who's going to be first, because it says, all right, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And we didn't even know who was going to be first to begin with. And so here we are all confused about who's going to be first and who's going to be last. It's like, who's on first? And so I should have had Abbott and Costello come and do that for us. But we don't know. And that doesn't matter. everybody gets a shot at the ribbon. So I'm going to say the first will be there, the ones in between will be there, and the one last will be there. Amen. So we've all got an opportunity, and there's no reason for missing heaven. Somebody shout expiration date. There's a lot of stuff out there that has an expiration date. Some of you are thinking of something right now. Amen. And I don't like soft drinks that are outdated because they lose their punch. There's a lot of things I don't like that become outdated and old. I've learned my lesson about hot dog and bologna being too old. It may go in looking good, but a couple days later it turns green fast. I'm telling you, I've had food sickness, you know, because of, and I was in a hunting club, and I went to the president, and I said, I saw some bologna in the refrigerator. You think it's good? He said, oh, yeah, eat it up, preacher. That's good. I said, and I ate it up, and I paid for that. I don't know. It probably been there 6 months or so. I don't know. How many of you have ever had food sickness? Well, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Boy, your eyes are on the bologna pack from now on. I know that. And the hot dogs, man. I am very scared of a loner laying in the refrigerator. It's like, I'm going to get you. I said, no, you're not. I'll feed you to the chickens. things get outdated. How many of you are thinking of something right now that just gets outdated and it's no good anymore? You might have to chunk it out and all that stuff. Amen. There's no date of expiration on heaven. It will always be there. And it will always be prepared. And it will always be waiting for you. Amen. And so, I know we're in this big political thing now. And everybody's eyes are on different individuals to be president and so forth. But a lot of politicians, they have expiration dates. Hallelujah. By the time comes for promises to be fulfilled, the promise is already expired with the president or governor or whatever it is. Broken promises and then broken hearts and then broken dreams, all because something or someone went away or had an expiration date. Heaven's not going away. Heaven is not going away. We need to understand something about God, and that is this. I really want you to get this. I know somebody said, I chose God, or He's my Savior, and I love Him, and I finally decided to live for Christ. We need to understand something. I don't think that we choose Him near as much as He chooses us. For instance, not because it's landmark and not because I'm the pastor and not because of anything like that, but there's a lot of privileged individuals in here tonight simply because the Spirit has drawn you to His presence. Because the Bible says no man comes to the Lord except the Spirit draws him. And so, you're not here because somebody got on your nerves and you said, I'm going to go to that church, and then after that, you're going to leave me alone. I remember those days, people trying to get me to go to church. Hey, I didn't grow up in this stuff. I did not grow up in this stuff. And believe me, if God can use me, He can use anybody. And so, people just hounded me. And finally, I remember who it was. I've got his picture in my office, a tribute to him, Willard Rowland. He worked in upholstery shop, and those were poor days, man. And I'm not telling you, when I say poor, I mean poor. And when somebody offers to take you to Burger King and buy you a Whopper and French fries and a Coke, and it's not going to cost you anything. You know what you do? You go. I went. And every time he would do that, he would talk to me about the Lord. And then finally a special meeting was coming up, and he invited me, and I went, and the rest is history. It's a beautiful thing. But you're not here because someone bothered you so much to get you here. And you are not here because your little buddy is here. And this is a very serious time. Church is always a serious time. We're not here very long, so let's spend it worshiping God, reaching out to the Lord, magnifying the name of Jesus. Is that all right? But you're here because the Spirit of God drew you here. That's why you're here. And so we should all feel as privileged individuals. And the reason I say that because, and I know God loves everybody. Please don't misinterpret what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying the Spirit does draw everybody. But the Spirit drew you, and you responded. And here you are, right in the midst of the presence of Almighty God. What an honor. What a privilege. So I don't think that we choose God as much as he has chosen us. I feel and think that God knew us before we were born, and he had plans for us. I believe that. Amen. So he's not a broken promise, and he's not a broken heart. He's not a dream breaker. Amen. And he'll always be there. And heaven is not going away. We need to understand that. Amen. All throughout the Word of God, men chose kings, judges over God himself simply in order to be like everybody else. And that plagues our world, and it plagues our generation, that people want to be like everybody else. Unfortunately, all of that has expiration dates. And nobody can be completely satisfied, because by the time they are, it's something else. The Bible says that he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody needs something that solid. And so the Bible says he chose Jerusalem that his name may be there. Now listen to this. He chose David to be over his people. He chose Solomon that he may build the temple. In Isaiah 41 and 8, the Lord said, I have chosen Jacob, the seed of Abraham, my friend. In Haggai 2 and 23, Zerubbabel, he said, I have chosen you from your father to be as a signet. I want you to be a sign to this nation. You see how God's the one that does all the choosing? John 6 and 70, Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Somebody say, wow. Devils don't even slip through without his permission. John 13 and 18, Jesus said, I know whom I have chosen. It would be good for you to understand today that he knows you. Amen. Finally, in John 15, 16, he said, listen to this. Amen. Let's get it. Put it up on the wall, please. John 15, 16. Look what this says. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He didn't just choose you. He chose you because he loves you. And he don't just love you. He wants you to produce. Wow. So if you decide and if you choose that you're going to truly serve the Lord that chose you first, then he's going to bless you in so many ways that your needs are going to be met in great proportions. And some of you can testify to that fact. Amen. He said that, I have chosen you. So what we need to see very seriously is the honor. we need to see the privilege and what opportunity, amen, adopted, chosen, and simply picked out by Almighty God. That's why we're here. And so none of this means anything. It's all irrelevant if we don't develop a heart toward heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, coming up in here, it'll get you a blessing every now and then. If I asked you to raise your hand, everybody would raise your hand. You've been blessed of God. Many of you have been healed of the Lord, as well as myself. Being in the presence of the Lord, it'll upgrade your status in life a little. It'll help you out. But if your sights are not on heaven, you also have an expiration date. We love you being here, but if your heart's not on heaven, you're on your way out. And I don't like that, because you've been hand chosen by God. You've been picked out by the Lord. You need to look in the mirror and see someone very special, someone very interesting to the Lord. Someone that the Lord has dynamics about. Someone that the Lord has emotion. He has emotions toward you. He has feelings toward you. That's why He chose you. And we cannot let that expire. Right? And so what do? Well, we know the church is here and we can come here anytime. We know that there's going to be worship here, so we can worship anytime. But we cannot go to heaven anytime. Can't rush that. But we've got to have a heart toward heaven if that is where we're going. If we have a heart towards it, ladies and gentlemen, we will eventually go. And that's where I want to go. And that's where I want you to go. Would it be okay to call a little time out and say, let's just lift our hands and ask the Lord to help us prepare ourselves for glory? Help us prepare ourselves for the kingdom of God. Amen. That where He is, I may be also. One of these great getting up mornings. Amen. I want my sights set on heaven. I don't want to have an expiration date. Amen. I'm going to tell you, to me, heaven is the ultimate success. I mean, there's a lot of successes down here and a lot of things that can just be absolutely awesome. I understand that. But the ultimate success is to make heaven our home and to arrive in that perfect place. But I'm going to tell you what success with God demands. Are you ready for this? Success with God demands secrecy. It demands secrecy. Amen. It demands a secret, personal place where at one point or another in each day, it's just you and your God. It's just you and your Savior. You say, well, preacher, you're getting a little too religious here. No, I'm not getting religious at all. Religion won't, you don't have to pray to have religion. You don't even have to go to church to have religion. But if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, you got to talk to them a little bit every day. And so I don't want religion with Jesus. I want a relationship with Him. And so it demands secrecy. It is an intimate relationship, ladies and gentlemen. And there's got to be a secret place. There's got to be the place where it's just you and Him. No show. Nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about, but that hidden place. Amen. And so we've got to have a secret place with Him if we're going to be successful with Him, so that we can pray and we can sacrifice without letting everybody know our sacrifice. We don't have to do that. It'll come out. Amen. Your blessing will speak for you. And so there's got to be prayer, there's got to be sacrifice, and there's got to be fasting. Amen. Being a real child of God, which is a Christian, when tough decisions are involved. Amen. Look at Gideon's situation in Judges chapter 7. 32,000 men of war. Gideon knew, hey, when God gave him 32,000 men of war, Gideon thought, I got this. And the Lord heard him. Because I believe the Lord said to Gideon, you ain't got nothing. 22,000 were immediately sent back. You know the story. His army went down to 300 men. And I can imagine that Gideon got to the point that he got the feeling, I don't got this. Against the army. Not only was God verifying the fact that it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He was also saying, you want honest to God victory? You got to want me first. Because there's no victory with God without God. So we get God, we get the victory. So now Gideon's calling on God, and God brings the victory. Does that make sense? Amen. So I'm just saying, don't let God take your sustenance in order for you to find out your substance. Let's look in the mirror. Let's look inside and realize who we really are now before God has to do anything real drastic and stuff like that. Amen. Honestly, I don't understand what people see in this world over the God of the entire universe. My Bible says that the earth is just his footstool. And we want to live for this world more than we live for him. Amen. Praise God. The biggest problem with many people and families, politics, churches, is simply being real. Sometimes we need to ask ourselves, what's our price? You know, headstrong independence, all these things that war against us and come against us, what's the price? What small, insignificant amount would the enemy of your soul have to pay to get your eyes off the goal? I don't know about you, but I'd rather make heaven my home than to build a nest in hell. Here's what I want. I want somebody to go with me where Paul went. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Let's take a journey tonight. Everybody shout, heaven in my heart. Paul has come against all kinds of stuff. He has come against all kinds of things. He's tormented by stuff. He's tormented by things. But yet, here's what he says. He said, nay. In other words, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's go to verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, it don't matter how blessed I am, doesn't matter how low I have to go, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. I'm so glad he said us, because he's not just talking about himself, but he's talking about every child of God. Somebody say amen. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's stand, because I want us to pray that the Lord will take us there. Somebody, anybody in the house, make up your mind. Amen. Because this world needs a real church. This world needs real Christians, pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, with heaven in our hearts. That's what this world needs. Amen. And then finally, Revelation 3, verses 11 through 13. Revelation 3, 11 through 13. Behold, I come quickly. Everybody shout, hold. Hold that fast. That doesn't mean quick. It means hold it tight, which thou hast, that no man take your crown. Hallelujah. A heart for heaven. Let's close our eyes and just talk to the Lord about that a few moments. Let's discuss this with God just a few moments, shall we? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's make heaven our home. Let's put it in our hearts. Let's put it in our minds, in our spirits, and in our souls. Amen. No sellouts. Completely surrendered, committed, dedicated, relegated to God. Wholeheartedly, our mind, heart, soul, spirit, body, everything about us committed to our God. And let the church shout amen. Amen. I want to say thank you for being in these Tuesday night Bible studies. I don't know about you, but they're doing a lot for me. They're encouraging and strengthening. They're refreshing and renewing. They're challenging and charging. And I praise God for that. And I'm glad you were here with me. I love you, Landmark. You're the greatest people in the world. That's not just prejudice, a little prejudice, yes, but it's the truth too. Hallelujah. And I love you. God bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.